Thank you, Brother and Mrs. Green, and I hope that your desire is to be a vessel that God can use to minister to the multitudes of people that need to be loved, that need to be helped, that need to have hope. And that, folks, I'm telling you, the further we go down the road, the more we're going to find out that God's going to need you more than you think He needs you. You know, so many of us say, oh, preacher, God doesn't need me. Yes, He does need you. He sure does. He needs you to minister to people. He needs you to carry the love of God and the message of Jesus Christ to the entire world. And boy, I tell you, this morning, bless my soul, to have our missionary guest here this morning and seeing what God's doing there. Oh, did I mention they need some help in Brazil ministering to the deaf? I said, did you hear me say that this morning that they need some help ministering to the deaf? In Brazil, you say, yeah, preacher, I heard you. Well, who's going to do something about it? You see, a lot of times we're all bark and no bite. Yeah, we'll say amen. Amen, missionary, go get them. Thing about it is God said, well, actually, I want you to help go get them with them. And a lot of times, folks, we don't listen closely as we should. And I know why. You know, the world, it's a scary place out there. And the devil's mean. Y'all know that? He's mean. But he'll be waiting for you. And you know that. And a lot of people don't like that. They're a little bit afraid of that. Let me tell you something. The rewards are incredible. The rewards, not just here, earthly, but also heavenly rewards, are absolutely incredible. And just serving God and doing what God's will is for your life. Would you take your Bible tonight and join me in the Gospel of John and chapter 15. the Gospel of John, chapter number 15. We're going to read the first 11 verses together, out loud together, pausing at each punctuation mark, because I want you to not only read it, but I want you to hear it for yourself as we all read together the first 11 verses of John chapter 15. Would you stand with me together tonight? John chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 1. If you'll read with me, we're going to pause at the punctuation mark so we can somewhat stay together and not cause chaos in the church. All right? John 15, verse number 1. Read with me together. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now, if you noticed the common theme and thread through these first 11 verses here, and I hope that you have either made a mental note or underlined them or circled them in your Bible, the word abide or abideth is used multiple times in this particular scripture. And so with that in mind, in these 11 verses of John chapter 15, that word abide is used over and over and over again. There's a meaning, there's a reason the Lord used it over and over and over again in these verses. And I want to take these verses tonight, and I want to preach to you on this subject, decide to abide. Decide to abide. Let's pray together and ask God to bless the reading of His Word and the preaching. Father, we're grateful to be in the house of God tonight. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to be blessed by the fellowship of other believers tonight. We pray that you'd encourage our hearts in the Word. We pray, Lord God, that through the preaching of the Word of God, that you'd stir us about what the will of God is in our life and what you desire to do through our life. Now, Lord, would you meet with us in this place tonight? Holy Ghost of God, may your presence be felt, and we'll give you the glory and the praise for what you shall do in this meeting tonight. For we ask it all in the wonderful and precious name of Jesus. Amen. You can be seated. The setting of John chapter 15, and we're going to spend a little time probably over the next few Sunday evenings as we continue to study and work through our theme of ministering to the multitudes, the compassion of Jesus Christ. In John chapter 15, and if you're familiar with the scripture in the New Testament, you'll know the scene and the setting here is the Passover meal, the Last Supper that Jesus would observe with his disciples. And in these last few hours of his life, and by the way, that's what it was. It was literally hours before his arrest, hours before he would be convicted and crucified. The teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ on the subject of ministry began to be become more descriptive, and it became more intense as he approached that hour. If you go back and read John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, you will see how intense the teaching got there in the last hours of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord realized he had but a short time now to be able to cover the subjects that he so desired for his disciples to get a hold of, because he was not going to be here much longer. They were going to be left here. Now listen, not comfortless, but they would not have him there to be able to minister to them and teach them and to have them to have him to lean on. So he began to intensify his teaching in those last few moments. Let me give you a perfect illustration of what I'm talking about. You school teachers here, you college professors here, anybody that's ever taught, you know how sometimes you'll be teaching and you realize that the time has gotten away from you and you hadn't finished all the things that needed to be taught to the students? And once you get there, and remember, you remember what you do? You start kind of speeding the teaching up, and you just start kind of shotgun teaching, and because you know, man, I've got to get in all this information. I've got to get in all these subjects before it's too late, because these students, this time's about to run out, and they're going to leave, and I want to make sure I cover the subjects. Well, I use that illustration to kind of help you to understand a little bit that time was growing short. The Lord was about to be arrested shortly, and he began to, pardon my the vernacular, but he began to shotgun teach. He just went from one subject to the next, to the next, to the next. I've chosen as part of the teaching tonight and the preaching tonight the subject that Jesus used to teach his disciples about deciding to abide. To decide to abide. How many good people of God have you known or that you've been associated with that became weary in ministering for Jesus Christ? I wonder, out of the goodness, or how many people that we've known like that, that have served God for quite some time, and they just became weary in the work. By the way, you know, Galatians chapter 6, verse number 9, tells us that we're not to be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You see, these dear people, out of the goodness of their heart, they gave, they sacrificed, and they labored for others, for maybe some of them for years and years. They wanted to help people. They wanted to glorify God. They wanted to see the church grow. So they ministered and they ministered. They gave and they gave and they sacrificed and they sacrificed. But in the course of ministering to others, they became weary in the work for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, often I'll hear people reference this type of thing, and they'll call it, and they'll reference to me, and they'll say something like this: "Preacher, I think I'm just burned out on God. Preacher, I'm just burned out on church. Preacher, I'm just burned out on the Bible. Preacher, I'm just burned out on ministry and serving." You see, they use that term, burnout. You see, what they're literally saying is they will reference the word or the term burnout, and what they're saying is, "Preacher, I'm tired, I'm fatigued, I'm stressed." Or maybe they'll even reference that, "I just don't have time anymore, preacher, to do the things that I'd like to do." And may I say to you tonight, these aren't bad people. These aren't backslidden people. These aren't disobedient people. They're people who still have gifts and abilities to offer the Lord. It's just that they just ran out of power to minister. They got weary in the way. They allowed their heart and their spirit to cease from abiding. I want you to notice the interesting word that Jesus used. Look down in verse number 6. He says, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is," here's the word I want you to circle, he used the word withered. He says, "and is withered." That word withered there literally means, here in this case, to lose freshness. I don't know about you, you know what? We need to stay fresh for God. And here he literally says, those who will not abide, those who will not abide in Christ, he says they will literally wither. They will lose their freshness. So no wonder people use the terminology, "Preacher, I'm burnt out." Well, what they're saying is, they're not necessarily, I don't know if I like the term burnout, but what they're saying is, "I've become weary. I've lost the freshness of serving God. I've lost the freshness of my salvation. I've lost the freshness of the things that God wants me to do in my life." You see, all I'm saying to you tonight, church, is this. God used the word abide over and over and over in John chapter 15. And that word abide, if you'll jot this down, think about this and meditate in this in your devotion time. That word abide literally means to stay in relation to. Stay in relation to dwell in, listen to me now, remain connected. That's the reason the Lord said, you abide in me. You stay connected to me. You dwell with me. You stay in relationship to me. And he used it over and over and over again. You know, the Lord always, when he commands us or expects us to follow his word, he always exemplifies what he's talking about to us so that we'll understand what he's talking about. So take your Bible, if you would, and go to John chapter 10, if you would. Go back to John chapter 10 and verse 25. John 10 and verse 25. Jesus answered them. He said, I told you, and you believed me not. Now listen to this. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. Now did you notice he said, the works that I do, he said, I did them in the name of the Father. Look at verse 38. He says, but if I do, though ye believe not me, he said, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father, listen now, is in me and I in him. Is that not what he's told the disciples in John chapter 15? He said, abide in me and I in you. He said here very plainly that the Father is in me, and he says, and I in him. Go back, if you would, to John chapter 5. Hold your place there. We'll come back to John 15 in just a moment. John chapter 5. We'll lay a little foundation here and show that Jesus exemplified exactly what he was asking the disciples to do and what he's asking us to do. John 5 and verse 30. Now I want you to notice what the Lord said. He said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. He says, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father that hath sent me. Jesus very plainly, over and over, illustrated that the power was from the Father. He said, I can do nothing of myself. Go to John chapter 12. Go to John 12 and verse 49. John 12 and verse 49. John 12 verse 49. All right, Jesus speaking again says this, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And we know that the message that Jesus Christ came to this earth with, he came, we know, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what he came. That was the message that he came with. And so we have three different illustrations here of exactly what the Lord was telling the disciples to do about abiding. Stay in relationship. Stay connected with me. Now notice that even Jesus gave us the example of abiding. And what abiding did produce through him. You see, it gave him the strength to resist the devil in the Garden of Gethsemane. There he prayed and sweat as it were great drops of blood. And there he resisted Satan in the Garden of Gethsemane. It gave him the power to endure the cross for sinners just like you and just like me. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, don't turn there, but you'll find there that the Lord was our example, and by his example, we were to follow his steps. We were to exemplify exactly what he exemplified. You see, we do not decide to abide in the true vine, or if we do not decide to abide in the true vine of Jesus Christ, we will not produce fruit for God. So here's what we got to do tonight, church. We've got to decide if we're going to grasp the concept and the principle of ministering to the multitudes, we're going to have to decide to abide. We're going to have to decide to stay connected. Help you understand what I'm talking about. Out in the front of my home, matter of fact, I need to do this here in the next few weeks, I've got a rose bush. Remember that rose bush I gave my wife years ago for our anniversary? Same one. Hey, can I say to you, it's produced more roses. And I'm talking about honker roses. Them suckers that big around. Every time I see one pop up over there, I go get one, cut it off, put it in a vase, give it to my wife, say, here it is. Just keeps producing. Keeps producing. I'm telling you, just shows love all the time. But that rose bush, I'm going to have to go back out there and prune that thing off. You know, it's about time to do that. But you know, when I go out there and I take one of those pieces, one of those branches off of that rose bush, and I sever that branch from the rose bush, I'm not going to be able to take that branch and go get a vase and stick that branch in there and say, honey, just hang on, it won't be long. This branch is going to produce roses right here in the living room. Now see, I can tell her that all I want, but it's not going to produce any roses. You know why? Because it's not connected. And because it's not connected to the vine, and because it's not connected to the power source and the root system that gives it life and gives it energy, it will not produce. And may I say to you tonight, there's most everybody in here has said, oh, preacher, I want to be minister for Jesus Christ. I want to do something for God. Listen to me. Then you have to decide to abide. You're going to have to decide to stay connected. You're going to have to decide to stay in relationship with the power source. Now, you say, how do we do that? Well, let me remind you of a verse, and then we'll come back to John chapter 15. Go to John chapter 6. Remember, this is one of the verses we read right at the beginning of the year as I set forth the theme for our church, John 6 and verse number 63. John 6 and verse 63. Jesus speaking said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Now listen to this. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit. Does your King James Bible say it, and they are life? Now, folks, I don't know about you, but it don't take somebody with a tremendous education to figure out that Jesus said that my words are life. So may I say to you, first of all, when you go back to John chapter 15, I want to show you two verses that will keep us connected with John chapter 6. Verse 3, did you notice? He says, now you're clean through the what? Through the word. Go, if you would, and look at verse number 7. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. He says, listen, first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to decide to abide in the word. He said, preach, I'm so sick of hearing this thing about reading through the Bible a year and doing this and do that. Folks, listen to me. You know what? I'm trying to help you stay connected. I'm trying to help you stay connected because you ain't going to minister without the Word of God in you. You're not going to minister. You've got to stay connected. You've got to stay in relationship. Listen, we've got to have a right relationship with the Word of God. We've got to. He said, man alive, I already know. I'm going to get over here in a few weeks down the road, I'm going to be over in Numbers reading all them, you know, them big old words over there. Well, you know what? You can always do like Brother B.G. Buchanan does. You just come there, and as you read, you just say, hard word, hard word, hard word, hard word. For those of you that remember him preaching here, that's what he'd do. He'd come over here, and when he'd have a word about that long, he'd just say hard word, and he'd just move on. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. We're going to have to decide to abide, stay connected, relation to the Word of God. And folks, listen, you're going to hear this to where you're going to go home and you say, man, I am sick. Good! Because we need to hear it over and over and over again. Listen, my five-year-old granddaughter, Miss Grace Garner's her teacher. Listen, there may be some time she comes and says, listen, we've gone over this alphabet, or we've gone over this and that. And listen, what she's saying is, you know what, you've gone over to, I'm sick, Poppy, of hearing all that. But you know what? Miss Garner's going to continue to do it. You know why? Because she needs to hear it. It's how you learn. It's repetition. You say, well, I can't wait to get finished reading the Bible through this year because I won't have to do it again. Folks, listen, I remember just Rhoda Small sitting right out here one day, dear lady in our church. I was walking out the door there, and she said, Pastor. I said, hey, Miss Rhoda, how are you? She said, I just want you to know that I finished reading through the Bible, And I'm starting to read it again. And I forgot how many times she's told me that she's read through the Bible. But folks, the sad thing is not very many Christians will live and die and ever have read through the Bible one time. Once in their entire lifetime. And let me tell you something. You show me people that are disconnected from the Word, I will show you people that aren't ministering to anybody. Because you have to stay connected to the life source. Jesus said that His words are life. When I go out there tomorrow and I take my little snippers and I snip off that branch from that rose bush, can I say, I severed it from the life source. And that branch ain't producing no rose anymore. But can I tell you something? That branch that I snipped it from, the root system is going to send a red alert down way deep down in the ground, down to those roots. And those roots are saying, red alert. Red alert, we've got an emergency. We've got to send some special energy. We've got to send some special power to that branch. Why? Because it's been severed. It's been pruned. We've got to do something. Before long, some new growth will start out of that branch. And it'll come out then. You know what it'll do? It'll come out, and you know what it'll do? It'll branch again. And pretty soon, where it was producing one rose, next thing you look out there, I got two or three on there. All because I went out there and pruned that little rascal back. You see, all I'm saying to you is we've got to decide to abide in the Word of God. Notice what the Bible said. Jesus said that abiding in the Word would do for you. Did you notice what He said there? He says, now you're clean through the Word. He used a word in verse number 2. He says that beareth fruit. He says He purgeth it. He says that the Word purges. It cleans. And it cleans our mind. It cleans our heart. It cleans our spirit so that it can prepare us to minister to people. That's what the Word of God does. And He says, now you're clean through the Word. So we've got to decide to abide in God's Word because the Word purges. Let me tell you something else the Word does. The Word burdens. Had people say, preacher, I just lost my burden. Just lost my burden for souls. Well, don't come tell me that because what you're telling me is you're not reading your Bible. Because people in the Word of God, when they stay in the Word of God and they read the Word of God, they continually have a burden for souls. Constantly have a burden for souls. Hey, let me tell you something. When I read the Word of God, I can't help but be burdened about lost souls. I can't help but be burdened about their eternal destiny. Hey, can I say something to you folks? Does it mean nothing to you that people die and go to hell? Is it nothing? Is it nothing to us that people die without Jesus Christ? Let me tell you something, dear folks. A church, you listen to me, a church that stops the lifeline of reproducing itself by winning souls will become stagnant. That's the reason we must not ever forget that it is your job and my job and your responsibility and my responsibility to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. But He said, you know where you're going to get the burden? Abiding. He said, abide in me. So I've got to decide to abide or stay connected or in relationship to the Word of God. That's the reason I've told you. And you've heard it over and over and over all of your Christian life. Listen, folks, you need to be a witness everywhere you go. You need to keep tracks with you all the time. Hey, you need to have it on your heart. So if you hear a knock at the door and you go to the door and it's the UPS man, he says, yes, I'm here to deliver a package for so-and-so. Sorry, you got the wrong way. You got the wrong address, fella. Listen. I like to be animated sometimes, and sometimes I think when we do that, the Holy Spirit, I can see Him in my mind's eye. And I can see Him go, you gripe at me because you don't want to go out on Thursday nights. You gripe at me because you don't want to go out and be a part of the Martyria Club or the Men's Soul Winning Club. And you gripe because you don't want to have to leave the house and go out. And then I send them to you and you still don't do anything about it. Hey, let me tell you something. You know what God did in John Hinton's heart? He set that on fire. I dare somebody else knock on his door. Yeah, let some guy come walking down there selling some steaks and see if he don't get the gospel. Hey, let me tell you, somebody come down selling a product and knock on his door, you don't see faith get the gospel. Let me tell you something. You know why? Because he's already seen the fruit of it. Why? Because somewhere in Brother Hinton's life, he's been abiding, staying connected with the Word of God. You listen, the cheapest form of evangelism, folks, we have is a tract. Now, listen, I'm sure there are probably people, there are probably Christians say, man, I tell you what, preachers all over America, they just stay on our case about winning souls. I think I read somewhere in the Bible that that's why Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Hey, folks, that's the reason I'm saying, grab you some tracts. My wife and I went out to eat on Friday. And we went out to eat on Friday, and we always take it or leave a tip on the table. I said, we always leave a tip on the table. And I'm talking about an appropriate tip. He said, well, they didn't do a good job in serving me. Listen, the guy that waited on us, you know what? He came by one time, filled my glass with tea, never saw him again. But you know what? I still left him a tip because I don't know what. I don't know if they were shorthanded. I don't know what he was going through. I don't know what problems he's facing. Listen, I've had some people wait on, just rude as all get out. But I still left them a tip and a track. Now, let me throw a little advertisement out here for just a moment about leaving a track. We just printed a bunch of new tracks. And right down here in bold black, go ahead and take that, Brother Steele. You probably don't have one, so go ahead and get that one. Now, on this track, in really bold letters, it's got my name on here. So when you don't leave an appropriate tip, they call me and gripe me out, and then I say, well, sir, ma'am, did you get their name? No. Well, how am I supposed to know who to address? So when you leave a track, leave an appropriate tip with it. Matter of fact, I left this kid Friday more. You say, but he only came by and filled your glass at once. Yeah, but I don't know if he's having a hard time. Listen, the thing about it is, I don't know if he's married and struggling, and I don't know what. I don't know if this is his second or third job. I don't know. All I'm saying to you is, listen, folks, listen, handing a track out, doing something for God. Just doing something over and above. Hey, aren't we commanded in Scripture to go the second mile? Not just give what's expected. Go above it. Go above it. Hey, I'm just saying to you, we need to decide to abide in the Word of God. Why? Because it purges and the Word burdens us for lost souls. Hey, it burdens us about our lack of ministry. It burdens us about our relationship with God. Hey, folks, I'm just saying, leave tracts. Put them out everywhere. Just give them to everybody. Listen, you say, preacher, I'm just scared to death to go knock on the door and talk to somebody about Christ. I just don't have the gift of gab. You don't have to have the gift of gab. You just have to have the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's all you need. Matter of fact, you know, when Jesus sent his disciples forth two by two, you know what they said? Oh, Lord, what are we going to say? He said, don't worry about what you're going to say. He said, when you get out there, the Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. He said, but I don't know how to witness. You got a testimony? Do you have a testimony of salvation? Then share your testimony of salvation. Listen, when I went out soul winning for the first time, I didn't know my head from a hole in the ground. And I went out there, man, I was out there and I was passing a few tracks out, and boy, I thought, man, I'm a soul winner. I'm a soul winner! I was just passing tracks out. Because you know what? I didn't have confidence enough to talk to somebody. So I was just passing tracks out. I remember the first time, my wife may remember this. This is back when they actually had phone booths. You know, way back there. Early to mid-80s. And there was a phone booth. If you remember this, there was a phone booth right there at Davis and Division. There's a used car lot right there. Used to be a service station right there. Back in 84. And I had just gotten saved. I thought, man, I want to be a soul winner. Man, that preacher said I need to be telling people about Jesus. So, man, I got some tracks. I thought, man, I'm going to be a soul winner tonight after church. So we got in the car and we drove down Davis. We pulled over. I told my wife, I said, we're going to pull over there in that service station. So we pulled on that service station. She said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to take a track and I'm going to go put it in that phone booth. I'm going to be a soul winner tonight. Hey, I'm telling you, I didn't have enough sense to put in a thimble. But I just heard the preacher say that night, you need to be a witness for Jesus Christ. So I got me a tract, had his name on it. And I went out there, and I looked around, see if anybody's looking. And I walked over there, and man, I looked. I opened that door of that phone booth. I looked around, and I put that rascal in there, and I went back to the car and got in there. And hey, I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, I thought I was a soul winner. I said, I'm a soul winner! Because I put a track out. I'm just saying, you know what, people? Everybody can do something. And see, the thing about it is, you know the people that are saying, that are laughing and having a good time tonight? Because you remember when you were in that stage. You remember when that track right there, it was just... I've had people do anything and everything with the track. I've had them tear it up in front of me and throw it. Amen. I gave one to a guy not too long ago, and he wadded up, and I could feel it hit me in the back when I was walking off. Hey, it's fun, isn't it? I'm just saying to you, listen to me. Folks, somebody can wad a track up and throw it and hit me in the back with it or throw it in my face, but I can handle that because of what Christ did for me. I can handle a little bit of that. Hey, I'm just saying to you, we got to abide in the Word. Why? Because it purges. Because it burdens. Hey, can I say to you, the Word commands. Go to Mark chapter 16, verse 15 for just a moment. Mark 16, 15, the Word of God, when you stay in it, boy, it has some commands in there. And in Mark 16 and verse 15, listen to this command. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Boy, it'd be great if the Holy Ghost would just put a period right there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But he didn't. He said to every creature. Everybody. So I have a personal responsibility to go. I have a personal responsibility to give. And I have a personal responsibility to the gospel. To give it out. You see, the scripture says we're to go into all the world. You see, folks, we're not just supposed to be giving to our local church, which we ought to be if we're honest, but we ought to be giving to world missions. This morning we had a missionary to Brazil trying to reach the deaf of Brazil. You know what? We need to give to missions so he can go. And if somebody tonight might come and say, preacher, I believe God's calling me into the ministry, you know what? We'll support you too. Yeah. We'll help you too. Why? Because the Word of God, not only does it purge, not only does it burden, the Word of God commands. We're commanded to go into all the world. Hey, listen to me. We're not only to start ministries worldwide, we're to start churches here at home. Hey, folks, listen to me. You look all over America. Several years ago, the big philosophy was to build about, you know, in different locations around America, build these gigantic mega churches. The problem is, the mega churches wasn't reaching mainstream America. That's not the answer to reach the world. The answer to reach our country and to reach the world is not 10 or 15 mega churches. The answer to reach the world is starting 10 or 15,000 other churches. Around America, in towns running 2,000 or 3,000. Man, I'm telling you, you get a man that's on fire for God, find him a little town somewhere in America, 2,000 or 3,000. I'm telling you, if he gets in there and knocks doors, wins souls, loves people, they'll be wanting him to run for mayor in 2 years. Man, can you imagine being in town and have so many people come to your church that the mayor wants to come and say a few words to the congregation, hoping that he could sway the congregation to vote for him? Hey, I'm telling you, we can literally take over town after town after town for Jesus Christ if we start churches all over America. You see, Jesus, when he told the disciples that he looked on the multitudes and he had compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered and were sheep having no shepherd. When you read on in Matthew 9, verse 37 and 38, the scripture says, "Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore that the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest." Folks, the problem is not that people need the gospel. The problem is there's not enough people to go out and give the gospel. I spent a year of my life and lived in the Delta of Mississippi. Now, if you know anything about the Delta areas of the South, they're very, very rich and fertile areas. The area that I lived in was very strong in cotton plantations and cotton crops and soybeans and stuff. And our house literally was right at the end of the street, right on the edge of a cotton field. And you could stand there and look across that field as far as you could see. And boy, when the cotton came in, which is about late September, October. Now, folks, listen. We think everything's big in Texas. And I've seen a Texas cotton bowl. It's about like this. You get up there in the Mississippi Delta, those cotton bowls are as big as your fist or bigger. They're huge. You can almost take a reach out there and grab a bowl of cotton, make you a t-shirt out of it, so much of it there. They're huge. Hey, I'm telling you, once those fields turned white, it was beautiful. Now, we looked at it and we thought, cotton. Because what had happened when they go out there and start getting that cotton and picking that cotton with those big old machines and stuff, our front yard looked like it snowed. If you've ever been in a place like that, in West Texas they do that. You go out there during the cotton picking time and you'll go down in the trees and town and stuff will be white, look like spider webs all over them next around those cotton gins. But see, the thing about it is you look across that field, it's white into harvest. Now, here's what I want you to picture in your mind. I want you to picture every one of those cotton bowls being a soul. And looking across that field at the multiplied multitudes of millions of people that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. Who's going to go get the cotton? Who's going to go pick it? Who's going to go out and harvest the cotton? Let me tell you something. These cotton farmers, they look at their, to us, we look at their cotton. Now, you know what? When they looked out there, they sold dollars. Man, I'm telling you, they thought, man, are you kidding? You see this field of cotton right here? Man, I can harvest this field of cotton. I can live 6 months on what I can make off this one field. Why? Because, hey, listen, when they saw it, they didn't just see it as cotton. They saw it as some value to it. And may I say to you, when God looks down here at the world, he sees souls everywhere. They're of value to him. Are they any value to us? Hey, we got to decide to abide in the word. Why? Because it purges. Why? Because what it does, it burdens, it commands. May I say to you next also that the word calls. Let me read you a little portion of scripture, Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, the scripture says, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And there's a question mark there. The question is, who's going to go into the harvest fields and labor for us? And then Isaiah speaks up and said, "Then said I, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." When I was a boy, my dad would have various jobs around the house, or sometimes he'd take us down to the store where the warehouse and area things that he ran in the electronic business. And we'd go and he'd say, "Boy, I got some work to do down at the shop today." We're thinking, "Nah, Pop, I don't want to go down to the store today." "Okay, I was going to pay $20. What time are we leaving?" $20? "Yeah, all I need to do is just need you to sweep the warehouse, throw the boxes away, bloop, bloop, before you know it. Man, I'm telling you, you've worked an 8-hour day for $20. Let me tell you something. When there was something of value involved, I perked up. Boy, when I heard, "Hey, you mean there's something associated with this? Yeah, $20. Let's go." "Well, don't you want your brothers to go?" "Why would I want them? I'd have to share it with them. I'm going to go tell them. Let them sleep." You mean you want to do it by yourself? Yeah, because I want all that $20 myself. And I'd go down there and I'd work. And listen to me. Once I found out there was something of value connected to the job, I was all ears. You see, our problem, folks, is we don't think there's anything connected with the job. You know why? Because we can't see it. We want God to drop it out of heaven. Come on, Lord. One or two of those rewards down here so I can see what I'm up against here. And then once I see it, then I might work for it. She's not going to show you anything. He's already given you the Word of God. That's the reason you need to stay attached. Right? That's the reason we need to stay connected, because He's already given us what the reward is. He says, now listen, there's the reward. Here's what I need you to do. Get picking cotton. Get out there in the harvest fields. Hey, I'm just saying, the Word of God calls. Hey, a church becomes stagnant when the membership stop witnessing and soul winning, and when the membership become resistant to the call of God to go. Now, folks, I just want to be honest with you. It's been a long time since God... Well, let me back up here. I don't want to put this off on God. I want to put it off on us. It's been a long time since any member of this church has walked down one of these aisles and given their life to Christ to serve Him on a mission field or in the ministry or just doing something out of the ordinary for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to say this. It's not that God's not calling. It's just that we're not answering. And I'm saying to you, young people, and by the way, it doesn't have to be young people either. It can be middle-aged people. It can be older people. Listen, the thing about it is, if I have to, I don't know what God's got for me health-wise in the future, what He's got in the future and stuff. But listen, if I have to, if my wife has to push me around in a wheelchair somewhere, I want to have her and say, listen, hey, but honey, you can't, your hands and stuff, they're so feeble and full of arthritis and stuff, you can't give a track out. Then put one in my mouth. Wheel me around here and I can just go, I'm telling you something, folks, I want to go out doing something for God. You say, well, what's going to happen? Preacher, we walk down here and look at you in the casket, put a track in my hand. I'd rather somebody remember me for trying to give the gospel out to somebody than to remember me for doing something that ain't going to matter a hill of beans when it comes to heaven. You've been to enough funerals, you know what I'm talking about. People stuff anything and everything down in a casket with somebody. And you know what? When we walk by there, we look down in there, they got their baseball cap and their glove on their hand, and that's what people remember them for. They ought to remember us as being a servant for Jesus Christ. I'm saying the Word calls. So we need to decide to abide in the Word of God. Go back to John 15. Let me give you these others real quick and we'll be done. Okay? John chapter 15. Not only do we need to decide to abide in the Word, we need to decide to abide in God's wealth. Everybody agree with me? God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. God owns everything. You want to tap into His wealth? Abide. Stay connected. You know what I found out in dealing with people that have been connected? Matter of fact, I'm thinking of a lady right now. Shared a story with me. It's probably been 10 years ago. And she used to care for an elderly couple, and wasn't a nurse or anything, but she cared for this elderly couple, and this guy was very wealthy and owned a business. And she just loved on them, ministered to them, cared for them in their old age. Mama passed away first, and then later daddy passed away. Not her daddy, but this elderly couple. And she just ministered to them out of the love of Christ. She gets a letter in the mail sometime, it's several months after the death of this couple. And it was from a law firm. Say, we want to make contact with you. Can you set an appointment up with us? She set an appointment up with him, went in there. She said that, I want you to know that Mr. So-and-so, I'm not going to call his name, or this lady's name, they included you in their will. She said, they did? Yeah, included you in their will. She said, oh. He said, we're going to have the reading of the will and things and the family and stuff there, and you are part of the will, so you'll need to be there. I want you to listen to me. This elderly couple had children that didn't give a rip about mom and dad. When it came time to read the will, They left their kids something, a token, based on what they did for mom and daddy. This woman, they left $2 million to. Now, the kids weren't real happy about that. Let me tell you something. They didn't take care of mom and dad like this lady took care of mom and dad. For whatever reason, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what? This lady served because she loved God and ministered to these people. And you know what God said? Think I'm going to reward you for this. And he rewarded her richly for that. I'm just saying that, listen, we need to decide to abide in God's wealth. Now, here's the thing about it. Listen, everybody in here would love to have answered prayer. So, oh, preacher boy, I want God to answer my prayer. I want to show you something. Look in verse 7. Look in verse 7. He said, if ye abide in me. Stop. If you stay connected. He said, if you stay in relation with me. If you obey me, if you follow my commands, listen to me. He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, listen to this. Ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Y'all do believe the Bible, right? Most of us don't believe that. Well, see, the Bible says I can ask what I will and it'll be done unto me. And God hadn't done it. It's because you're probably not abiding. See, we think that if we get up in the morning and we'll say, listen, I got to get my Bible reading in, and we'll go to Psalm 117 or something like that. It's got two verses. Get our Bible reading in for that day. I've been abiding in the Word. No, you haven't. Just because you read two verses doesn't mean you're in relationship with the Word. You see, what I'm trying to say to you, church, is we need to decide to abide in God's wealth. Listen to me. I've been chosen to participate in the plan of God. Did you notice there the scripture said that I didn't choose him, but he had chosen me? Look at verse 16, if you would. He says, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Y'all believe the Bible, right? That is a promise from God. You say, boy, I want to get on that promise. Then you're going to have to abide in the Word. You're going to have to abide in the wealth of God. You're going to have to get involved. Hey, God said, I've chosen you to participate. He said, I've ordained you to communicate the Word of God. Hey, listen, I've been commissioned to go out with the gospel and illuminate people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And may I say to you, God said, I've chosen you to participate. I've ordained you to communicate. Hey, listen, I've commissioned you to go out and illuminate with the Word of God. Then listen, if we'll do that, then God is determined that he can use something to motivate. You know what it is? Answered prayer. Ask what you will. Remember our last Sunday night? Remember Hezekiah? Hezekiah had gotten a disease and the word came to Isaiah, get your house in order, you're going to die. Or Wednesday, I think it was. Hezekiah flopped down on his bed, turned his face to the wall, and began to call out to God. He says, haven't I done right? Haven't I been a good king? And he went on and on and on and made his case for serving God. And the Bible says God repented of that. Added 15 years to his life. Anybody want an extra 15-year kicker to your life? Okay, then I do. If you don't, I do. I want a 15-year kicker to my life. He said, let's see, you're 26, let's see, 15. You'll be lived to 41. And see, some of you believe I'm 26. Hey, God's determined if we'll participate, communicate, illuminate, then he'll use something to motivate. Answered prayer. Listen to me, guaranteed. A guarantee of God. Hey, listen, folks, fruit bearing brings glory to God. It exalts the Lord before everyone. It initiates praise of God's goodness and grace. It honors the Lord. Well, let's look at one other verse here. Not only are we going to have to decide to abide in the Word, we're going to have to decide to abide in the wealth of God. Why? Because he's chosen me to participate in this. And I don't know about you, but I kind of like the thing of being chosen by God, don't you? Hey, when I was lost, you know what? I wasn't choosing him, but he chose me. He says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to participate in some of my wealth. I want you to take care of some things, and you know what? Guaranteed, you'll be in my will. What's the will of God? a mansion in heaven. Hey, let me tell you something, folks. If I never got anything from God other than salvation, it'd still be worth it. It'd still be worth it if all I ever got was salvation. Hey, listen, we just got to decide to abide in His Word, decide to abide in His wealth. And may I say to you tonight, one last thing. Look at verse 11 quickly. We need to decide to abide in the joy of the Lord. Look at verse number 11. These things, He said, I've spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be filled. Anybody on board with living a joyful Christian life? Hey, that joy just simply means passion that is excited by the expectation of good. Wait a minute now. Caused by success. I'm telling you. You go out and start passing a few tracts out. You start witnessing to people, seeing some people saved. You got any salt about you, you'll go crazy. I don't mean crazy. I mean crazy about Jesus. You might become a fan. What's that? I'm talking about that. You might become a fanatic of Jesus. I got home this afternoon. I didn't get to watch too much, but I watched just a little bit of the end of one of those football games, and they showed the stand. People's nuts. Man, they're dressed up. They got gold hair on. Their faces painted, and people lost their mind. You know why? They're fanatics for a football team. You know what God needs tonight? He needs some Trinity Baptist members to be a fanatic, to be a fan of Jesus. You know what about, I don't know about you, I want to be in the fan club of Jesus, don't you? I want to be interested in what He's interested in. Hey, listen, you can abide in God's joy, and it's the joy of obeying God. It's the joy of reaching souls for Christ. Boy, I tell you, when I won my first soul to Christ, it whet my appetite. Oh, man, I'm telling you, it was something else. I've never gotten over it. Never gotten over salvation. Never gotten over winning people to Christ. Hey, listen, you can get the joy of restoring a brother or sister to Christ. If you weren't here last week, you just have to go watch it somewhere. But there's a joy in restoring something to its original condition. The joy of loving people for Christ's sake. Let me just say this and I'm done. We all want to be joyful in our Christian life and ministry. Hey, folks, there's enough miserable people. I'm just here to tell you the reason so many are miserable is because they're not abiding. They're not staying connected with the Word. They're not staying connected with the wealth of God, and they're certainly not abiding in God's joy. You see, God wants us to have joy, and that joy that remains is the fruit of the Holy Ghost of God that lives in us, because it is the fruit of joy that's produced through your life, that the Spirit of God produces in you. To listen, so that when you go to work tomorrow, you can have a smile on your face. I ain't going to have no smile on my face because of my work environment. What does that have to do with Jesus? Do you realize you making change the attitude of your work environment? With a smile on your face, boss comes in, calls you everything but a human being, you say, yes, sir, glory to God, I'm totally depraved. I'm depraved but saved. Thank you, boss. You know, hey, you'd be amazed. Your boss would say, that guy's crazy. That guy's nuts. You know something? To me, that'd be just a compliment. That'd be just a compliment. All I'm trying to say tonight, church, is this. We need to decide to abide. If Trinity Baptist Church, hey, listen, it's okay. Hey, we make banners. We can have this thing. We can plaster it all over the place. We can have it for our missions conference. We can have it. But listen, if we don't abide, it ain't nothing but a sign. That's all it is. Say, boy, I tell you one thing. I like that theme, preacher. Like that theme. Boy, we got it out on the front, on the sign. I like that theme. Fine. What are we going to do about it? Doesn't mean anything if we don't abide, if we don't stay connected with Jesus Christ. Stay in relationship with Him. I hope that you'll meditate on this and chew on this for the next few days. I hope that you'll walk some or walk across the street over here to our fellowship hall and say, where's that track rack? Give me some of them tracks. I'm going to go find me a phone booth. Well, you're probably not going to have to look a long way to find a phone booth these days. But I'm telling you, the other day, I was up at down MCA to visit Tiffany Poe. Reached in my pocket. I had about, I don't know, 6, 8, 10 English tracks and Spanish tracks. And man, I'm telling you one thing. I went everywhere. And listen, I put them everywhere. Guard at the front desk. Who are you here to see? Here to see Tiffany and Poe. I'm her pastor. Here you go. Is that you? Yes, me. You a doctor? Well, I didn't qualify for a nurse, but that's what it says. I always like it when you go visit and say, you her pastor? I'm like, man, I must not look like one because they always question me. But you know something? We just need to get a handful of tracts and learn and decide to abide. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? How many tonight can say, preacher, no, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved, gloriously saved, eternally saved in Jesus Christ. Lift your hand way up high and say, that's me. I'm saved.